I'm Carol Hills, and you're listening to The World. A single woman opting to have a child, it's not that big a deal here anymore, but it's still rare in places like the Middle East. Here's a story about a woman in the United Arab Emirates who did make that choice. Her name is Aisha Elbousmate. She's 49 and works for the government, and she's a single mom. I'll let reporter Amanda Fisher take the story from there.
Elbousmate is at the vanguard of a small but growing number of Emirati women over 40 who are single and have chosen to adopt.
I've done a lot in my life. I wrote films.
Elbousmate says she never consciously rejected getting married. It just didn't happen.
I did not put any rules in my life, you know, to get married, not to get married. It happens like this, you know. I didn't find the right person. But the issue that I find that I'm missing is the kid.
But having a kid outside of marriage isn't easy here. The United Arab Emirates is a deeply traditional Muslim country with large families, and many Muslims believe it is haram or forbidden to adopt. Though Elbousmate insists that's wrong.
It's never been haram, and Islam encourages embracing.
Elbousmate is quick to point out that adoption has gone on in Emirati society for generations, though usually in secret.
Actually, adoption here is not something new, but talking about it is something new.
And Elbousmate is talking about it openly. 3 years ago, she adopted a girl named Reem. Her daughter is now 5 years old.
This is my secret chance. Only I can only whisper anything in mommy's ear. It's a secret chance.
It's inside this tent that her mother told her she was adopted.
I was with her in the tent. She called me and she said, "I have a secret. I love you, mommy." And it was really touchy. And then I changed my mind. I said, I have two secrets. And of course, the first secret that I love you, mommy. The second secret that I got you from my heart, not from my tummy.
Elbousmate says talking to her daughter about it was easy. What worried her more was telling her mother about her decision to adopt. She says her mother surprised her.
I was surprised that she was welcoming. She always supporting me, but in this step, it was something never been happened in our family.
Her sisters were less understanding of the idea.
In the beginning, they said, why you go for adoption? You don't need it.
But Elbousmate says they now love and accept Reem as part of the family. Elbousmate doesn't want to share the details surrounding Reem's birth, but she will say her daughter was abandoned by her birth mom. The Dubai government estimates a handful of babies are abandoned every year, some on the streets, and most are believed to be the children of poor migrant workers who fear punishment under the Emirates' strict laws against premarital sex. There are now about 50 prospective families on the government's adoption waiting list, and almost a quarter are single women over 40. That includes Elbousmate. She's been approved to adopt another child, a baby sister for her Reem.
I believe that she's somewhere there waiting for us, and this match will happen, inshallah, soon.
For The World, I'm Amanda Fisher, Dubai.
It's clear that some Muslims see adoption as haram or forbidden, but the mother we just heard from in Amanda's report insists it's not. So which is it? For some clarity on this, we contacted Natana DeLong Ba. She's an assistant professor at Boston College and editor-in-chief of the Oxford Encyclopedia of Islam and Women. I asked her, is there adoption in Muslim countries?
I think the best answer would be that it's different from what it is in the West. Adoption in terms of taking on the family name and being considered a full heir with the right to inherit from the family is not permitted in classical Islamic law. It's believed that it's very important for a child to always know who their biological parents are and to be able to trace back to their actual family heritage. But foster relationships in which a family would take a child in and provide for that child and raise that child within their own home certainly is known and has been practiced historically.
And is there a name for that?
So this foster relationship would be called kafala.
Yeah, in the case we just heard about, Aisha says that Reem is her daughter, but will always retain her birth name.
That's correct.
Is there any pressure to change the definition of adoption and get away from the kind of more sort of fostering relationship or the prohibition against taking the adoptive family's name in Muslim countries? Any Muslim country that you know of?
Overall, I would say no. I think the first initiative that's been made has been in the United Arab Emirates with the Dubai Community Development Authority.
So it's something that across the board, however observant you are as a Muslim, there's kind of collective agreement that the way it's defined and carried out is acceptable?
As far as adoption by changing the family name, yes. There is one other thing I should mention, one other option for kind of working around the law. And that is in the case of an infant who is under 2 years old to become a milk child. So if you are a fostering family and an infant is presented and the mother is able and willing to nurse that baby, if she nurses the baby at least 5 times before the baby is 2 years old, that creates a special relationship under Islamic law, in which that child is then considered a legitimate child within the family and is able to inherit and is actually also able to serve as a guardian or mahram for the mother.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And again, unfortunately, we don't have statistics available on that, but that practice has been known since the lifetime of the Prophet himself. He actually was wet nursed by a lady named Halima for the first 2 years of his life.
In any Muslim country, there has to be unwed mothers, orphans created for any number of reasons. What happens to these kids? Is there a stigma against them their whole life? What commonly happens?
I think it would depend on whether any of the circumstances are known about why that child had become orphaned. In a case where, let's say, the parents have been killed in a car accident, the child has lost their parents, the hope would always be that an extended family member would take them in, but there would not be any social stigma in that case. Social stigma might be more likely to occur in a case where parentage simply isn't known, if you have a baby who's abandoned. There are babies who are abandoned either by unwed mothers because there's a social stigma against sex outside of marriage. In some countries, it's actually illegal. So if you're found to be pregnant and you're not married, you could be facing criminal prosecution. In some cases, you're dealing with instances of rape or incest. So women will typically hide those pregnancies and then abandon the babies.
Do Muslim countries ever find themselves being criticized by non-Muslim countries about their definition of adoption and how it's practiced?
Yes. For many approaching it from a Western perspective, and I'd say this is particularly the case in the United States because half of all global adoptions actually occur in the United States, it seems that there is a double standard. And that double standard would be, on the one hand, Islam strongly encourages acts of charity. And on the other hand, adoption is prohibited. So it doesn't seem to make sense that adoption would be an incredible act of charity. At least from our perspective, you'd be taking in a child who doesn't have means provided for him to or her to survive, but that would seem to be blocked in this particular instance. And I think if there were more conversation that wasn't just focused on Western definitions of adoption, but also introduced kafala into the conversation so that we're also talking about foster relationships, that we might be able to find a little bit more common ground to work on.
Natana DeLong Ba teaches at Boston College, and she's the editor-in-chief of the Oxford Encyclopedia of Islam and Women. Thanks, Natana.
Thank you.